All right, let's take our Bibles, go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 in the Word of God tonight. Genesis chapter 12. I wasn't down here when you first started introducing yourselves, and so maybe Mr. Fry asked this. Anybody, this is your first week, first time ever at Servant's Heart. Anybody at all? Anybody? Okay, we got one over here, all right? So all the other guys, you guys know what's going on. And it's a great place. I always enjoy my time when I come here. And a special place. The Lord's doing a great work here. All right, Genesis chapter 12. And let's look at the first four verses. And we'll look at a few other passages tonight as we go along. But let's start Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. We'll stop there for right now, because that's really the thrust of what we're talking about tonight. I want to preach a message this evening entitled Christian Life 101. Christian Life 101. Let's pause. Let's ask for the Lord's help tonight. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for giving safety to everyone here today. And thank you that, Lord, we can gather tonight and open your word and learn more of what you have for our lives. And thank you, God, so much that you are, Lord, you're a great God. And Lord, you just you do so much for us, and thank you, God, so much that again, it's no accident you brought us here. I pray you'd speak to us, that you would use us more, or conform us more to your image. Thank you so much for what you have done, what you are going to do. Would you fill me, use me tonight? And again, we just thank you for your goodness to us. In Christ's name, we ask these things. Amen. Let me get this up here, young person. This is why I don't bring my computer up here, because stuff happens. I'm trying to get this back here, so hold on 1 second, because I was typing this out earlier, and so this is what we're going to do. There we go. All right. The class designation 101 refers to a beginner's introduction of the basic fundamental principles of a subject. The term originates from the United States University numbering system, where the 100-level courses denote freshman classes, and so the class 101 is assigned to the very first one. It's the starting point, we could say, of a subject, the foundation on which everything else is built. If you don't understand and pass the lessons in 101, you are not going to progress very far. You know, when it comes to the Christian life, there's a simple starting point. There are some specific foundational principles that we would certainly learn in any beginner class. And in our course tonight, we're going to be doing a case study in the life of a man by the name of Abraham. Now, there are surely other examples that we could look at, and maybe somebody here tonight would say, well, you know, I thought this was 101. I thought this was the ABCs of Christianity. Shouldn't we start with someone of a little less stature, maybe? Isn't Abraham one of the top spiritual giants? Didn't he make it to the great hall of faith? Wouldn't his case study be more suited for a more advanced course? But here's the truth tonight, young person. Here's the truth that we need to understand. The spiritual giants, what we will look at and say, are the spiritual giants of the faith, are the ones who do the ABCs really well. I want you to understand that. They're the ones who do the ABCs really well. They are the individuals who never lose the simplicity of the Christian life. While there are certainly other lessons God teaches us and other disciplines that we add as we continue on in our Christian journey, if we master the foundational truths of 101 and we never get away from them, then whatever else God allows into our life or Satan throws our way, we have the tools to conquer. We have the wisdom that we need to pass the test. So what we're going to highlight tonight, it may seem extremely simple. You may be like, Brother Will, this isn't junior camp anymore. you forgot that we moved into teen camp, right? It may seem extremely simple, but the simple, young person, I can't overemphasize this enough, the simple, understood, and applied, and done over and over and over and over again, is the secret to successful Christian living. And so, these lessons tonight, you probably already know in your head. How many of you guys grew up in some type of church? You grew up in some type of church, okay? Again, the majority of us here tonight, all right? And so you probably already know these lessons in your head, but there is a difference, young person. There is a difference in knowing the lesson and living the lesson. You understand that? There's a difference in knowing the lesson and daily living the lesson. And if we're not living the lessons, then we're failing God's classroom. Maybe you've come to camp this week, and for all intents and purposes, we could say that you're failing in God's classroom. Oh, you're maybe going to church. You're going through the motions. You're going to church because that's what your parents make you do, right? They drag you to church. And maybe you're trying to read your Bible. And then maybe you're trying to do some of those things, but for all practical purposes, you're failing in God's classroom because you're not daily focused on the Lord and in a love relationship with Him. And so there's a huge difference in knowing the lesson and living the lesson. So, from the life of Abraham, what do we learn about the essence of the Christian life? What is Christian life 101? I want to give you three simple lessons tonight, really simple, but I hope this sets a foundation for what we're going to talk about this week. And really, everything from PCL in the mornings to the evening rallies, everything we're going to talk about this week goes back to one of these two things. In some way, the application is born out of one of these two things. And then there's a third lesson that we're going to add in tonight, okay? And so, number one, here it is. What are the lessons in the Christian life? Number one, we believe God. We believe God. You say that is pretty simple. Yeah, it sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? There's a reason that Abraham is called in Romans 4 and verse number 11, the father of all them that believe. There's a reason in Galatians chapter 3 verse number 9 that verse states that they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. You see, Abraham above all else was a man of faith. And faith was the starting point. It was the foundation upon which all the rest of his life was built. He was a man that took God at his word. Whatever God said, he just took God at his word. All right, let's look at a few examples. First of all, he believed God about his sojourn. He believed God about his sojourn. For those of you that aren't familiar with that, that's an old English word, all right? It simply means his journey, right? His sojourn. And that's what we've just read about. In Genesis chapter 12, God comes to Abraham. He's 75 years old. Now, I know that in Bible times, all right, especially around this time, they lived a lot longer. But still, 75 years old, you know, a guy's kind of set in his ways. And God says to Abraham, Abraham, leave your home, leave your family, leave your kindred. I don't want you to go to a land that I'm going to show you. And Abraham, by the way, not only am I going to give you this land, but I'm going to make of you a great nation. And all the nations of the earth are one day going to be blessed because of your descendants, Abraham. And so, I mean, that's a pretty amazing statement that God gives to him. And what's it say in verse number 4? It simply says this in verse number 4. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. I'll be 38 this year. And I'll tell you what, I moved for the first time a few years ago, so I would have been, 35, 36, something like that, when my wife and I bought our first house, and we moved. And guess what? I have no desire to do it again. I really don't, okay? Maybe, again, I'm still pretty young, and maybe God could move us on somewhere, I don't know. But even moving the first time, at that age, man, you just don't realize how much stuff you accumulate, right? I mean, go to some of your guys' room, and just look in the closet, look under the bed. Oh, that's where that banana went, right? And that was that smell. And, you know, you just accumulate stuff. Abraham, 75 years old, and God's like, leave. Leave your home, Abraham. Leave your family, Abraham. And we don't find, at least it's not recorded for us in Scripture, we don't find Abraham arguing to God. We don't find him saying, you know what, God, I like it here in Ur of the Chaldees, and it's a pretty good spot. I got all my livestock here, my family's here, I got a good life. Abraham, from what we can gather, was a fairly wealthy man with all the livestock, okay? but we don't find him arguing. The Bible simply says that he departs. What does that mean? It means that he took God at his word. And in fact, the Bible tells us, some of you guys know these verses, in Hebrews chapter 11, listen how Hebrews chapter 11 puts it, talking about this instance. It says in Hebrews 11, verse number 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. He goes out, doesn't know where he's going. It's kind of like the Lord coming to maybe one of you guys in a few years and saying, all right, I want you to leave your parents' house. All right, God, where do you want me to go? Don't worry about it. Just go. Okay, but like, do I get a job somewhere? Do I get an apartment or do I buy a house or do I, hey, don't worry about it. Just go. I'll lead you. I mean, that's the idea that Abraham is going out and he's not knowing where he's going. Wow, that is just, you talk about the faith to have a relationship with God, to believe God, to take God at his word about that journey. But not only do we see Abraham's a man of faith, He believed God about his sojourn, but secondly, he believed God about his son. He believed God about his son. All right, look just a few pages over to chapter 15. If you have your Bible, just go a few pages over to chapter 15. All right, he believes God about his sojourn. He believes God about his son. Chapter 15, verse number 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? Pause there for a second. I think most of us are familiar with the story. Abraham and his wife Sarah did not have their own biological child at this time. Okay, that Abraham says, Lord, what are you going to do? What are you going to give me? I go childless. Okay, we got servants in the house, but Lord, you haven't given my wife and I a child yet. In verse number 3, it says, and Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, now get what God says here, this shall not be thine heir. So Abraham's thinking, well, maybe this kid over here running around, one of the servants' kids, maybe that's how God's going to make this great nation. And God comes to him and says, no, that's not what's going to take place. This shall not be thine heir. Verse number 4. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And get this, verse number 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness. He believed in the Lord. Again, think of his age. By this time in chapter 15, a few more years have gone by. And hasn't had any children. They're getting past. The Bible tells us, in fact, the Bible says, what about Sarah when she heard this? She what? Someone tells me. She laughs. They're at the point where they're laughing. Oh man, that's a good joke now. That's a good joke. I'm going to give birth to a child. And, you know, and man, they're past that point. But the Bible says here that Abraham believes God. And he counts it to him, we'll get to this in a second, all right? But he counts it to him for righteousness. And so he believes God about his son. You don't have to turn there for sake of time, but I'm going to, if you want to, you can. But you can mark down at least Romans chapter 4. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 4. Again, concerning this, Romans chapter 4, concerning the faith of Abraham. Verse number 19, Romans 4:19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And so Abraham's thinking, all right, this doesn't seem possible, but you know what? God's going to do this. That's what it says there. It says that he's not weak in faith, right? And verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. God must look down and view Abraham's faith as so great. It must have touched God's heart in such a special way that God records this for us in Hebrews chapter 11, that Abraham, he's not weak in faith, but he's strong in faith, giving glory to God. Wow, he believes God about his sojourn. He believes God about his son. But I want you to see as well that he believes God about his sacrifice. About his sacrifice. Look over at chapter 22, back in Genesis, all right? Back in Genesis, look over at chapter 22. I'm just giving you a few snapshots of the life of Abraham and why we read about, in the New Testament, he's called the father of all them that believe. Right? He's called the father of faith, right? Why is that? Because there's so many tests that God gives to Abraham that Abraham passes. That Abraham simply takes God at his word, okay? In chapter 22, this might be the most astounding one, at least in my mind, okay? At least in my mind, this might be the most astounding test that God gives to Abraham. Chapter 22, verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. He believes God about his sacrifice. We won't take time to read the rest of the story. Again, I think most of us are familiar. You say, Brother Will, was Abraham really going to like put the knife in his son Isaac? That's what the Bible says. Again, it's hard to wrap our minds around that because God himself in the Old Testament was not for, obviously, child sacrifice whatsoever, okay? But this was a test. This was a test. God wanted to see, and of course God knew what he was going to do, right? Okay? God wanted to see where Abraham's faith, where his obedience was at. And so, again, we don't find Abraham arguing. The Bible says that God gives him the command and gets up the next morning and they're off for the mountain. You know, they're going up the mountain and Isaac is, most Bible commentators think Isaac's probably, you know, 12, 13 years old, somewhere around there, maybe some of your guys' age. He's a smart lad, and he's like, Lord, you know, or Abraham, you know, Dad, here's the wood, and we got the fire going, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And that's when Abraham makes the famous statement, my son God will provide himself a lamb. Abraham, the Bible says, takes the knife. You can read it later in chapter 22. He's about to stretch it forth and sacrifice his son. And at that time, the Lord says, calls out to Abraham. Abraham, now I know, right? Again, Abraham passes the test. Now I know that you fear me, and that and God goes on to bless him. And of course, there's a ram that's caught in a thicket, right, a little ways away, and so brings the ram, and God provides that lamb. But Abraham believes God about his sacrifice. Say, Brother Will, was he really going to do it? He was. You know why? Because Hebrews says this. Again, you can look at this, or you can look at it later, just write down the reference. Hebrews chapter 11 says this. Again, back to Hebrews 11. And there's a lot said about Abraham in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 17 says this. Listen, Hebrews 11, 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Look at verse 19. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. You know what that means, young person? It means that had Abraham gone through with that, he was about to go through that. Why? Because he believed. God said, it's not going to be Ishmael. We didn't even talk about that, right? Abraham, he goes, he has a moment of maybe distrust where he doesn't believe God. He's like, I got to do this. I got to do something about this, right? He goes in unto his wife's maid, and she's expecting all of a sudden. And from that comes the child Ishmael, right? But that wasn't the child of the promise, all right? That's a picture of the works of the flesh. The child of the promise that God gave was Isaac. That's why, by the way, in chapter 22, God says, Abraham, take your son, your only son. Well, he had Ishmael as well. But God was saying, Abraham, this is the son of promise. This is who the Messiah is going to come through. And so it says there in Hebrews that Abraham believed God so much that if he slayed his son, he thought God was going to raise him right back up. That young person is unbelievable faith. Unbelievable faith. taking God at His word. You know, again, it's not complicated. Christian Life 101, the very first thing is we believe God. We take God at His word. The first step into the Christian life is the step of faith for salvation. And please, please bear with me, all right? I know many of you, if not, you know, 90% of you, 95%, 99%, maybe all, I don't know, all right? But I know the majority here tonight have already made this decision. But maybe there's one person among us tonight, and you haven't made this decision. And you don't know that if you die tonight, that heaven's your home and your sins are forgiven. Well, the first step in the Christian life is the step of taking God at His word when it comes to what His word says about heaven and how to get there. Taking God at His word when it says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When it says in Romans 5:12 that wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Listen, all of us are in the same boat of sin tonight, right? All of us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:22 that in Adam all die. We are all in Adam. All of us come from those first two parents, if you would, right? We're of the human race. And as a result of that, we are born into this world as sinners, separated from God. And so we take God at His word that we are sinners. We take God at His word that we can't make it to heaven on our own. Isaiah 64, verse number 6, but we are all as an unclean thing. And all of our righteousnesses, all the good things that we think we can do, are as filthy rags. It's great to come to Servant's Heart Camp. It's great to go to church. It's great to read your Bible. Maybe some of your parents are in the ministry, right? That's wonderful. That's great. But none of those things will take us to heaven. None of those things will forgive our sins and justify us or make us righteous before a holy God. The only thing that does that is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Over and over and over again, the emphasis in the New Testament is faith. Christ, Jesus Himself, gives that emphasis so many times, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, that's biblical faith, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. He that believes, he that trusts, right? God knew we could never make it to heaven on our own. He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He took upon Him the sins of the whole world. And our response now is to simply trust in Him, to rest in Him. I want to ask you tonight, young person. All right, listen to me. Do you know that 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 you know? Do you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that if you die tonight, you go to heaven? That your sins are forgiven? That you have accepted the righteousness of Christ? Remember Genesis 15:6? And by the way, I say it's emphasized in the New Testament, and it is. But it's all over Scripture. It's not like people were saved differently in the Old Testament than in the New Testament. Okay? That's not true. No. Genesis 15:6 says that Abraham believed in the Lord, and He counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham, even though they didn't use that terminology back then of being born again, right? He was saved. He was considered righteous because of his faith. Because he took God at His word. Do you know tonight, young person, in a shadow of a doubt, that you're going to heaven? And so that's the first step. But once we're born again and the journey has started, we continue to progress only as we continue to believe God. Some of you may need to believe God this week about assurance. Maybe you're saved, all right, or you are saved, but you struggle. Because, oh man, well, I do this and I do that, and man, I don't really know, can a Christian do this or not? And some of you this week, God wants to say, hey, look at my word. Look at what my word says. Believe me, take me at my word. Young person, assurance does not come from looking at ourselves, from what we do or don't do. Just like salvation doesn't come from what we do or what we don't do, right? Assurance comes from taking God at His word, what He says. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Either that's true or it's not, right? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5, that we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. God keeps us. God protects us, right? John chapter 10, we're in the Father's hand. And so some of you this week, maybe you need to get that settled. Because you're not going to go any further in your Christian life until you get that assurance thing taken care of. So you always be thinking, the devil will always be making you feel guilty. And you always be wondering, well, am I really? Well, get it taken care of. Take God at His word. See what the Bible says. Your counselor can help you more with that. I can help you if you ask me, right? We can show you verses. Take God. Believe God and His word. Some of you this week need to believe Him about the damage and the destruction of sin and how we need to confess it. We're going to talk about that as we go throughout this week, right? Now listen, young person, I told you, I'm not, God knows my heart, right? I'm here to help you this week. And I may say something that you're not going to like. You know, probably, I know it's amazing, isn't it? Probably, I'm going to say something at some point that you're not going to like. But I want you to know this, I mean this with all my heart, I want you to know this. At some point in my life, I didn't like it either. At some point in my life, there were things that God was trying to get a hold of my heart about. And I was saved when I was 8 years old. I always felt God's call to preach. But in my teenage years, I had some struggles. I had some struggles with different things. And there would be times where a preacher would preach or my youth pastor would be going through something. And I sat there and I thought, I don't like that. You know why? Because I was selfish. And so whatever I say this week that you don't like, I want you to know that there was a point in my life I didn't like it either. And God had to bring me through that. God had to work in my heart. God had to soften my heart to recognize, to take Him at His word that sin is serious and does damage, first and foremost, to my relationship with Him, but then my relationship with everybody else. It always does damage. And so you got to take Him at His word about that. We all have to believe Him this week that He only wants what's best for us. We all have to believe Him that when He says that we can have victory over sin. I'm saying that in our morning devotions and your cabin devotions and PCL and evening service, we're going to hear a lot of Bible. You're going to memorize a lot of Bible, all right? I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe how many kids I saw doing verses after supper. That's great, by the way. That's wonderful, all right? But you're going to memorize a lot of verses this week. We're going to have so much Bible. But you know what we need to do? Not just put it in our heads. We need to take God at His word. We need to believe Him. You need to believe and say, this is not just something I'm doing. This is not, no, I'm taking God at His word. And so we believe Him. Secondly, and don't worry about the time. The first point's the longest, all right? So nobody gets scared, all right? And so we'll get out of here pretty soon. Secondly, number one, we believe God. But secondly, we obey God. We obey God. It's very simple and logical. Abraham's faith moved him to obey God. All of the examples that we've already looked at concerning Abraham's faith, we saw that he backed that up by a life of obedience. His words spoke, but his actions spoke louder. And young person, listen. Obedience is the outflow of true faith. As we believe God, we obey God. Abraham, get out of your home. Get out of your country. He leaves. He departs. He obeys. Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Abraham, who you had to wait for so many years. Take him and sacrifice him. He gets up the next morning and he goes. His faith is backed up by obedience. And again, that's what James, by the way, is talking about in James chapter 2. Sometimes that can be a confusing passage because it says faith without works is dead. Young person, understand, it's not talking about faith in regards to salvation. It's talking about faith in regards to Christian living. Okay? So we need to understand that, because that can be confusing. But it says this in James chapter 2. It says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? What's he saying? Faith without works is dead. Abraham, he was justified before God when he believed God, but he's justified before men. He is seen to be a real Christian before men by his obedience, by his lifestyle, by his doing what God asks him to do. Obedience declares true faith. Faith is the inward heart attitude. You can think of obedience more as the outward fulfilling of duty. Faith is the inward heart attitude, right? That takes God, that at his word, that believes God. Obedience, the outward fulfilling of that. And obedience of a person is something we can never, ever get away from in our Christian lives. Its theme is found all over Scripture, right? It's not like, well, then, Brother Will, this is teen week, so, junior week, that's all about obedience in junior week. I don't know. It's teen week. It's adult. It's when you're married. It's obedience. Again, remember, doing the simple things well. Staying with the basics, right? Deuteronomy 13, verse number 4. We're almost done. Hang with me. We're almost done. Deuteronomy 13, 4. You shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him, and cleave unto him. Proverbs 3, verse number 1. My son, let thine heart keep my commandments. Ecclesiastes 12, 13. Remember that Solomon? Wisest man never live apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And Solomon, he was going through the book of Ecclesiastes, and he said, man, I sought for pleasure, and I sought for works, and for riches, and for wealth. And he's saying all is vanity, right? He's kind of on this search. And he comes to the end of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and he says this in verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Here it is, young person. Here's what life is all about. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We fear him, we keep his commandments. John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Luke 6, 46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You're calling me Lord, you're calling me Master, but you're not obeying. You're not doing what I'm telling you to do. 1 Peter chapter 1, 14 and 15. 1 Peter 1, 14 and 15. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. All right, look. Eyes up here. If you're listening this week, okay, if you're listening, even to 50% capacity in these sessions, in the morning, in your cabin devotions, in your one-on-ones, if you're listening, God's going to speak to you this week. I promise you. He's going to. Okay? It's what he wants to do. Right? We're his children. He wants to speak to us. He wants to change us. He wants to use us more, right? I promise you, God is going to speak to you this week. That's not the question. The question is, are we going to obey? That's the question. Are you going to obey? Sounds simple. We believe God, what his word says. We say, okay, that's what his word says. We take him at his word, and we obey. If that's confessing sin, if that's surrendering in some area, if it's being baptized, if it's, again, assurance, whatever, there's a million applications. Are we going to obey this week? And then lastly, and then we're going to be done. So, again, the lessons here in Christian Life 101, we believe God, we obey God, and then thirdly, because of those two things, if we get those two things right, here's the third lesson. We're blessed by God. We're blessed by God. Again, the text that we started off with, Genesis chapter 12, how many times is the word blessed or blessing used in that? Verse number 2, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Again, Abraham goes down in the eternal record. Generations, every generation since Abraham. That's a lot of generations. All right, a lot of generations. Everyone has been able to read Abraham, the father of all them that believe. Everyone's been able to read, as he's called there in the book of Romans, or Galatians it is, Abraham, the friend of God. Wow, what a way to have in the eternal record for everybody to see that you're the friend of God. He was blessed. There's no doubt about it. Abraham, God blessed him. God used him. He wasn't perfect. Again, we kind of hit upon his a glaring mistake and how he was flesh dependent and went into Hagar and all of that situation, right? He wasn't perfect. But he passed the tests that God gave him. And we look overall tonight, 2026, July, whatever it is, 13th, 2026, we look at Abraham's life and we would say a spiritual success. He was a spiritual success. Here's a man trusted God, and he obeyed God, and he's blessed by God. He's in the hall of faith. Young person, I'm going to share this in closing, all right? I so much desire God's blessing in my own life. I want that. I hope that you want that in your life, to be used of God, to grow up and not be a failure. Nobody wakes up one day, by the way, and says, I want to fail at life. I want to be a bum. I want to just, you know, not get a job. I want to ruin my marriage. I just want to fail at life. Nobody in their right mind says that. But you know what? It happens over and 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 over again. It happens to Christians. It happens. I want God's blessing on my life. I want God's blessing on your life. I don't travel around different places because I have nothing else to do. Right? I was in Maryland a couple weeks ago. Been here for the last 2 weeks. I'll drive home Saturday, drop my son off. And either Monday or Tuesday morning at midnight, I'll drive to North Dakota to preach a church camp that starts Tuesday, a week from tomorrow. It's crazy, right? We go here and we go there. And I don't do that because he's got nothing else to do, right? Mr. Fry didn't start a camp because he has nothing better to do with his life. The counselors aren't here this summer. I don't know all of them extremely well, and the staff. But I think it's safe to say, from what little I've seen, they're not here just because, well, they couldn't get a job somewhere else this summer. So these are kind of leftovers, and they're here. No, that's not why they're here. You know what? All of us want God's blessing on your life. But it doesn't happen automatically. And it doesn't even happen because you're at junior camp. Sorry, teen camp. Switch my mind. You're at teen camp 3. It doesn't happen automatically. Young person, Abraham did the simple really well. Really well. Now, I guess you could say that the actions that he took were not simple or easy, in the sense of he had to leave his home. God was asking to sacrifice his son. You could say that, but the concept, that's the point tonight, the concept was simple. Believe and obey God. Believe and obey God. The Christian life is not rocket science. It's not made up of equations that are going to hurt our brains, young person. We believe God, we obey God, and in turn, we are blessed by God. That's Christian life 101. Christian life 101. We believe God, we obey God, and we're blessed by God. So let's have the heart attitude tonight, as you go off in just a second to quiet reflection time. I want you, if you haven't already, some of you may have already, but if you haven't already, I want you to ask God, God, don't pass me by this week. Lord, you want to speak to me. Help me to believe you. Whatever you show me, help me to believe you and to take you at your word, God, and help me to obey you. And if we have that attitude this week, guess what? God's going to bless. Because that's what he does. When we believe him, when we obey him, God blesses our life.